Health and Human Services Budget Conference Committee will come to order. The Senate has an offer to make to the House. This will be our second offer, so when we're finished, we would hope the House would be ready to make a good offer back. We could have that handed out.
The one thing about the sign language folks, they can chat wherever they are and nobody even knows. They can talk in church.
We'll have more copies later. Mr. Godfrey, do you want to go through the offer?
Madam Chair, members, this is a summary of the offer made by the Senate making today. We'll also have a spreadsheet for members and staff as soon as it arrives, but I'll just walk through this this one-page item. The Senate is proposing to accept the House position on a licensing moratorium savings. It's just small savings of $6,008.09. The Senate is dropping its proposal to add two participant groups to the hard-to-employ category, saves $61,000 from the general fund. Senate is also proposing to eliminate the work hours hardship extension provision, savings of $827,000. The Senate is proposing to change the work participation bonus down from $100 a month for 24 months to $75 for 24 months. Next, the Senate needs to does some TANF refinancing changes based on changes to the proposals I just mentioned above that are MFIB related, at a cost of $1.3 million to the general fund. Senate's also proposing to accept the child care assistance program that the House has at the House level. This was a governor's recommendation. Senate's also proposing to accept the child care co-pays funded at the House level with the effective date of fiscal year 08, and that's $2.1 million change in the Senate position. Next, the Senate is proposing to eliminate its increase for child care provider reimbursement. General fund savings of $4.6 million in this next biennium. The Senate is accepting the basic sliding fee waiting list provision by the House, but at $6 million for that item. The Senate's also proposing to accept the House position on self-directed support options, $903,000. Senate is also accepting Senate is proposing this new item to delay the MA expanded autism services benefit, which has not gone into effect. This is similar to the foster treatment benefit that the House position came in with. And this would save in the next biennium $4.2 million of general fund money. The Senate is proposing to accept the House position on Medicare Part D copayments, which would cap co-payments for these individuals at $12 a month, and that would save the Senate position $8.3 million. The Senate is proposing to accept the House position on MAEPD for people 65 years or older. Cost is $622,000. Senate proposes to accept the House position on MRRC waiver slots and the family support program slots. Cost is $6.1 million. And the Senate is accepting a regional children's mental health pilot. This was a one-time mental health pilot in the at a cost of $1.4 million in 08-09. Then there's also a few health care access fund changes. Senate's proposing to accept a House position to exempt mental health services from Minnesota Care co-pays with a small cost to the health care access fund of $164,000. And then also just to do some balancing to make sure that that fund stays in balance in the Senate position, we adjusted the downward $50,000 for the Minnesota Health Care Program's outreach media campaign. And then there are four changes to the TANF fund for the Senate. The first is just recognizing the change in TANF refinancing, which saves the TANF fund $1.3 million in 08-09. Next, the Senate's proposing to actually proposing to eliminate the provider reimbursement for child care. That saves the Senate in the TANF fund $6.7 million. Then the Senate is proposing to accept the MFIB Children's Mental Health Pilot Project that the House has. That would be using TANF funds rather than general fund, as the House does, and that's a cost of $300,000. And then finally, the Senate's proposing to accept on a one-time basis for the next biennium $9.5 million in funding from the TANF fund for home visiting.
Members, there are several things that have been done here to accommodate some of the concerns that were expressed in the letter the governor sent to us. One is the elimination on the part of the Senate of the child care reimbursement item. A second is to eliminate the hardship extensions and the groups that were proposed in the hard-to-employ category. We just wanted to make you aware of the reasons for those changes. Are there any questions? Okay, if not, then we have a couple of amendments, some just to pass out so the House can have a chance to take a look at them, and others that we could probably act on. First one maybe that we could hand out is the Senate did have a after-deadline committee hearing of the Judiciary Committee yesterday to hear the bill that the governor is proposing on privacy in regard to e-health records. And the committee made some amendments to the bill, and we wanted just to distribute that to the members of the House so they can have an opportunity to take a look at it. So when you receive this A12 amendment, you can put it in your homework pile. Representative
Hosh.
Madam
Chair? Yes? I didn't hear.
The A12 amendment is in regard to the e-health records work by the Senate Judiciary Committee. So when you receive that, you can just put it in your homework pile to take a look at.
Madam Chair, this is the language that came out of committee?
Yes. Okay.
You have other amendments?
Then we have a A83 amendment. This is kind of a cleanup amendment in the MFIP section of the bill.
I would move the A83 amendment.
Members, the amendment on pages 1, lines 3 to 4, deletes a house section that conflicts with the family stabilization services. This was a part of the governor's bill and is no longer necessary because the family stabilization services has been adopted by the conference committee. Page 1, lines 5 to 10, conference committee must reconsider Senate Section 16 on page R54 because this section has already been adopted, and then delete a clause that is redundant related to the family stabilization services participants moving to MFIP. And then page 1, lines 11 to 14, clarifies that the $100 bonus, which, of course, in our offer now would be a $75 bonus for two-parent families who exit MFIP, is paid for with non-maintenance of effort funds. So it's pretty technical. Any discussion? Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, we would like to look at this for a little bit.
All right. We'll set it aside then. We have another amendment that you may feel the same way about. It is an A96 amendment.
Madam Chair, I would move the A96 amendment.
Well, why don't we hand it out so you can see it first? This deals with the mental health grants and our amendments to the governor's mental health language in the bill, per discussions that Representative Walker and I have had. This doesn't resolve that whole section, but it would be several pages of language that we and writers that we could deal with. Okay, we'll put that one aside. Homework pile's getting higher. On House Article 4, Section 30, this deals with transition to housing with services. The only policy difference in this language is that the House requires consultation to be offered to all prospective residents 65 or older, and the Senate requires Housing with Services establishments to inform prospective residents of its availability. And a staff recommendation is that we take the Senate language. Guess that some of the prospective residents might not be 65 years of age or older. And I guess the intention is to inform all residents regardless of their age. Would you like to wait on this one, too, or what do we think here?
I was looking at a previous one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, Madam Chair, it's on page R31.
Can I ask a question of staff? Would that be okay?
Yes, Representative Teason.
The language in the House, is the only difference that it's 65 age and older? Is the language in the House also more prescriptive in the sense that establishments have to offer the counseling instead of just making people aware of it? Is there a substantive difference that you read between those two paragraphs?
Madam Chair, Representative.
Mr. Gale.
I think the House language was watered down and maybe slightly more prescriptive, but I don't think it's significantly more. And the only reason that I would recommend it is because the industry has indicated that they prefer the Senate language. The department is neutral, and this would just be a way to resolve the issue.
Take about 10 minutes on this one. Hold it.
All right, we'll set that one aside. Article 4, House Section 100. This deals with waiver service provider qualifications and county certification. The Department of Human Services prefers the House language and says the other stakeholders do as well. It has the latest amendments that were available. This is House Article 4, Section 100. It's on page R84. So we would take the House language.
Article 4, page R84.
Madam Chair, I would move on... page R84, section 100 of the language be adopted.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on House section 119, I guess the staff erroneously recommended earlier on the issue related to the Council on Disabilities, assistive technology issues, that the section be deleted because it was similar to a Senate rider. It is actually different. It has a study and report that has been pared down to the point where it is budget neutral. And it has a requirement for the Council oversight of a technology collaborative that has an unfunded fiscal note. So the recommendation is that we delete subdivision 1, paragraph B, and accept the remainder.
Neutral, fiscal neutral?
I believe so.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt section 119 except for the paragraph B.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. There is a PCA caddy rider in the bill on Article 4 also, Mr. Gill.
The rider would be
in the rider section.
Article 12, yeah.
The House section 12 on R32. I believe those who've been working on it prefer the House language.
Should be the case.
That's on page R32 of the rider section, and it's labeled here County Caddy Allocation Adjustment. And I would move the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
R32.
Yesterday we had offered an amendment repealing the sunset of the hospital review language. The House had said they wanted to look at it, so I'm wondering if you're ready to act on that amendment.
Madam Chair, what amendment number is that again?
Mr. Gill.
Madam Chair, it's the A80 amendment that was distributed yesterday.
Madam Chair.
Representative Abler.
I understand, talking to the Hospital Association, that they like this. And part of the reason that the sunset goes is so that this provision stays around. I think there was some talk about trying to create another system. And if you move the sunset out 1 or 2 years, would that accomplish the same goal to provide pressure at preserving the language? Have you considered that as an alternative?
Representative Abler, I am not aware of anybody working on creating any other system. Representative Huntley.
Well, Madam Chair, you didn't hear the 15-minute discussion on the House floor this morning, but I would move this amendment to delete the sunset.
Any discussion? Senator Pretner Solon.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what Amendment 80 is and what it relates to.
Was handed out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I would need to know the article and what we're talking about in order to find it.
Mr. Gill.
Madam Chair, the A80 is an amendment on R43 of Article 6, House Language, and it just inserts a new repealer, paragraph D, and it repeals language that sunsets the alternative hospital review process on January 1 of 2009. So it would make the process permanent.
Yeah, not so I couldn't find it anymore.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in...
Just hold for a second.
Madam Chair, what this does, if I understand right, it repeals the sunset on the process for getting a
right. So the process would stay in place. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then there was an amendment that was put forward by, I believe it was, the House yesterday regarding an oral health care program. the Senate's prepared to act on that amendment today.
Do we have that amendment?
I'm here. You can have a copy.
It was an A89 amendment. We can distribute it again.
That'll be good. I think the original discussion that I didn't see our House version be distributed. I guess it must have been.
Yeah, you're right. No, yeah.
The Senate one was originally distributed, Madam Chair, and then I'm not sure.
It was laid over.
Right, and then this one is this the House version?
Yes, as I understand it.
Well, Senator, this is your amendment, but includes the right.
Madam Chair, I think this is the first time it's being distributed, and I'm happy to explain it.
This amends the Senate language on the oral health care innovation grants, and it keeps the same amount of money but changes the language in the various criteria of the different grants that would be provided. There would be one grant to St. Louis County, one grant to Beltrami County, one grant for the Bright Smiles program, and then dental hygienists working with Head Start programs in other underserved areas outside of the seven-county metropolitan area would also be eligible to apply for funds if there are funds available.
Madam Chair?
Representative Clark.
I'd just like to support this amendment. It does, I think, bring together a number of different folks who have been very concerned about little children not getting dental health care. And it's a very good investment, and I think it really highlights the relationship between dental and oral health and, you know, the health of a whole person. So I really hope that we will pass this, and I think it's a good compromise. I know the United Way has worked on it with a number of the organizations that have been involved in, I think, starting in St. Paul. Bright Smiles wants to now extend up over into the Twin Cities and up to Beltrami County. So it's a very good program from what I can tell, and I'm thank you for bringing it forward again.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the A89 amendment, and also I'd like to briefly say that all you have to do is look at the pictures of these kids' mouths and that we saw. I think, Senator Solon, you were there in Duluth.
Any further?
It made a big impact on me.
Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Lynch.
I'm very supportive of this initiative. I just, the language that I saw previous to this seemed a little bit more generic and not so specific to particular organizations, and I just wondered if you could provide some direction or a comment on that.
Senator Lynch, I think after some discussion among the various groups, there were several groups working on different proposals, and they got together, and I think what they agreed is that it really doesn't make sense to have an RFP process for a project, for example, in Beltrami County, because we know who the people are that are working on it there and raising private dollars to start the project there. So rather than have there be a competitive process, we just describe the type of project that it would be, that the money would be used for, and this will meet Senator Olson's needs better than the original language that we had in the Senate bill, and I think the same is true for each of the other projects.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Abler.
Just to follow up on that, some of these aren't going to be really big grants, a couple hundred grand at the most, I would guess, and some grants that are put out are even smaller. And the amount of effort put out by the grantee and by the department to sift through and do all the, you know, procedural work to award these grants burns up a lot of good time after bad. And so I think this is kind of lobbied for more. I don't mind this approach at all. It's great and consolidating, making it easier to get. So just to echo that thought, it's a historic challenge, too, from the department. Remember the ClearCorps discussion we had and, you know, an RFP to have one group they're going to get into anyway. So.
And members, this is one-time money. It's to jumpstart something that we were hoping would happen last biennium, but the department is waiting on a waiver, so this will help some projects get started before the waiver arrives. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
opposed. The amendment is adopted. Then there is a A94 amendment. This was language that was supposed to be included in the Senate bill. It was given hearings and went through the whole process, and you know how these bills are kind of large and there's things that fall through the cracks now and then. So this was inadvertently omitted from the Senate bill. And this deals with the nursing facility moratorium process. And of course, the Senate does have money in their bill for the nursing home moratorium process to continue over the next biennium. So we'd like to amend to include this language with that appropriation.
Chair, and the House actually has some of this language in their bill, I believe, don't we?
Well, my notes say that you had it at one time, but it didn't end up in your bill either. So it adds new criteria, one of which is demonstrating need for a facility to continue in that community. You're all probably familiar with it because you did give it
yes.
hearing, I know.
Madam Chair, we just want to have this on hold with that, the other amendment.
Senator Coring, did you have a comment?
Well, Madam Chair, I was just wondering on this amendment, is this the one where if I hypothetically had a nursing home in my district and they wanted to do some remodeling, they would be able to get some money? Is this the amendment that would take care of that, or?
No, Senator Coring, actually the money in the Senate version of the bill to fund the moratorium process over the next biennium would give you, your facility, the opportunity to apply for a construction moratorium exception. This language just amends the moratorium exception law to update it and provide a little more flexibility in that law.
And Madam Chair, could I just inquire how much do we have in the Senate bill on that moratorium fund?
We'll come back to that question when Mr. Godfrey comes back
all
to
right.
the table.
Thank you.
So this will go on the homework pile then. I think that completes the work that we have to do at this time. Representative Thiessen?
Just briefly on the A83 amendment, which is, I think, one of your first ones that you introduced. It deletes the thing that we don't need from the governor's language. It's that amendment because mm-hmm. of the second part says reconsider section 16. Did we adopt section 16? And so we want to not adopt it? Is that the idea?
The amendment amended what we adopted, so we don't have to reconsider, I believe. Ms. White is nodding yes.
We adopted it.
Oh, because we're taking out that D provision? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Do you want to move that?
No, we don't need to. We already acted on that amendment.
Okay.
It's one of the ones we actually did today.
Yeah.
Members of the conference committee, we have less than 24 hours to finish this bill. We have a lot of work ahead of us. I suggest we recess, and I'd like to recess, give us a recess long enough for the House to do work on their next offer. So how long do you think we have?
3 hours,
6 o'clock.
All right, then the conference committee will be recessed until 6 o'clock.